Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to, it's kind of a big episode for us, John. We're finishing an entire chapter today.
Who thought it'd be possible, but we're about to finish it up
it
now.
It took us only 10 months, but here we are. We have been in, my friends, Philippians chapter 2. What a great chapter, learning about humility, learning about serving others, seeing all of it wrapped up in the person of Jesus. Then seeing really at the end of the chapter, two good human examples of what it means to be like-minded, others-focused. And we looked at Timothy last episode, and now today, John, I want us to look at this last part of Philippians chapter 2 and this good man Epaphroditus. Why don't you read it for us, verses 25 through 30?
Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me.
What a guy, Epaphroditus. Let's see if we can patch together the clues from the book to see what happened here. So first of all, I think we need to know a little bit about the geography. So Philippi is tucked all the way over by the Asian continent, not far from modern-day Turkey, all the way on that side, the top of the Aegean Sea. And Paul is in Rome. So that's a good journey away by land and by sea. So Epaphroditus has taken a gift from the church at Philippi to Paul in prison. So how do we know that? Because he tells us in chapter 4 that I am full, verse 18 of chapter 4, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So he sent that was so like the church at Philippi. They would try to help the Apostle Paul with physical needs. They had done that way back at Thessalonica. They're still doing it. They're a faithful, giving church. So some would say Epaphroditus was one of the leaders at the church. He probably was, may have been the pastor. We don't know. Some would argue that. It doesn't really make a difference. He is somebody sent by the church to express the love of the church to Paul. And then apparently something happens while he's with the Apostle Paul. Paul's under house arrest. Epaphroditus is there. Paul's got some other colleagues there, like Mark and Luke and Aristarchus and Demas and others. And apparently Epaphroditus gets sick.
You're right, Pastor. We don't know a lot of details about it, but he got extremely sick, almost to the point of dying.
And because he got sick, word got back. So think about how the time is elapsing. Word got back to the church of Philippi that he was sick. And then Epaphroditus was worried. Not so much that he was sick, but that they now knew that he was sick, and now they're going to be upset, and I'm upset because they're upset. And I mean, what a guy.
Yeah, Epaphroditus surely had a heart for the people at Philippi. He loved them. He cared about them. And you're right. It bothered him that they were distressed about his well-being because his concern was their well-being.
Right. Now some would say that what that means, that he longed after you all, and he, let me read the verse, he longed and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So, some would argue that it was a homesickness that he felt, that he was feeling because he was sick. And where do you want to be when you're sick? You want to be home. And so there's also a homesickness on top of all of this, whatever the physical malady was. And that very well may be the case as well.
Yeah, Epaphroditus, you know, we don't know all that went on. And as you mentioned, it was a good ways away. And travel was not as easy as it is now. He couldn't just get in his car and drive over there. This would have been days and days of travel.
Right, and boat travel to boot. So all of it. But what can we learn? Because here we are. Why would this be included in this Holy Spirit written letter for people of all time? Why are we learning about, you know, somebody's sickness and then he got well and went back home and came here and delivered a gift? And what does all this have to do with Philippians chapter 2?
We see here a great example of somebody who is sacrificial. Even with his life, if necessary, he wants to do the work of the Lord.
And that's it. So he sent Timothy. Then he said, I also sent Epaphroditus. And let me just tell you the kinds of things that Epaphroditus went through. Let me tell you the emotions he was processing. Let me tell you the spirit that he had. And then to kind of put an exclamation point on all of it, he says in verse 30, it was for the work of Christ that he was nigh unto death. The reason why he almost died is because he was serving God and he was willing to do that. He was willing to put, maybe Epaphroditus knew he was sick. Maybe there was some lingering illness that maybe he had protested to the Philippians and, no, you can't go. You know, you've been weak physically. No, I'm fine. I can do this. I want to do this. And maybe that's the reason he felt bad. He say, oh man, whatever it was, but he was willing to put others first.
And what a great conclusion to this chapter we have here. As Paul, we saw last episode with Timothy, that Timothy cared for the things of Christ, where most people think about their own things. And here, Epaphroditus, he does care about the work of Christ, so much so that he is about to die because of it.
Right, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. But isn't that exactly how the book began? Because the Apostle Paul said, I know that you're struggling with the fact that I'm in jail, that I might die. But listen, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So now I know it's taken us weeks to get here or episodes to get here. But people reading this letter would have been here 10 minutes ago when they read about Paul saying, hey, if I live or die, I want to serve others and love God. Well, now he's saying, here's this guy Epaphroditus. He did this for the work of Christ. He didn't worry about dying because he was doing this for others. He was living for others. So right within our chapter 2, this is what Christ did. This is the attitude Timothy had, and this is Epaphroditus. What's Paul doing? He's showing them example after example after example of living for others, living that Christ life, that sacrificial life, not striving, not being in vain glory, but living like-mindedly for others.
And Epaphroditus would have been a good example for them because they knew him. They knew him well. They knew things about Epaphroditus. And here Paul reminds them of the kind of man that Epaphroditus is. And I'm sure that people back at that church could have spoken to what he was like and his testimony and his character. And what a great example for them back 2,000 years ago. And a good example for me today, what I ought be like in my life, the heart I ought have for Christ. And above all else, you know, want to serve Christ. A quick illustration, I talked last episode about William Borden and how he meant so much to me as a young man. William Borden, some of you may be familiar with this story, but William Borden was heir to the Borden, you know, wealth, the Borden Dairy Company. But Borden died as a young man over in the mission field, but he had in his Bible written at one time in his life, no reserve, and then later on wrote no retreat, and near the end of his life, he wrote no regret. He was a man that was sacrificial, yet he had no regrets because he served Christ with his life.
No, that's so good. And I love your point about the fact that Epaphroditus would be somebody well known. He came from that church. They knew his character. Sometimes the toughest people to have a good testimony in front of are the people we live with every day.
You're right. Peer pressure sometimes can make us do things that we or would not be wise in doing.
And not even peer pressure, although that's certainly true, but I'm talking about when you live with people every day, they know the real you.
Yes.
So for Paul to point with confidence at a man to say, here's a man with this testimony, what a genuine, sincere man he must have been.
Oh, that is for sure. What a great example he was.
And I see some of those descriptions that help to shape our understanding of him in the very first verse that he's mentioned, because it says, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. So Paul saw him relationally as a brother in the Lord, but then watch this, and companion in labor. So here's a man that was a faithful co-worker, a man that expended energy and time and effort for the cause of Jesus Christ, wasn't a pew sitter. So he's a brother. He's a companion in labor. And then I like this, he's my fellow soldier. So a man with a tenacity, a militaristic attitude toward the ministry, not in an attitude, but in a resolve. The same language the Apostle Paul used in 1 Timothy chapter 2 or 2 Timothy chapter 2 about, you know, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, these are great explanations about who Epaphroditus in his character was. He was a great friend, a loyal friend of Paul's, and he was in the trenches with Paul. He knew what it was like to go through difficult times for Christ.
Yeah, so for me, he's a companion, he's a fellow soldier. To you, he was your messenger and the one that ministered to my wants. In other words, to you, you know, he was the one that took the love gift, the gift, the care package to me and gave me the things I needed. So you viewed him as an emissary. You viewed him as the deliverer of these goods, and that's wonderful. So he was trusted by you. He was faithful, all those things. But I want you to know he was much more than that. He was much more than someone that just delivered the goods.
Because Paul so often, you know, was in difficult times and he went through trying times, and even now he's going through some difficult days as far as people would say, and yet Epaphroditus was there with him, not ashamed to be associated with Paul. That didn't bother Epaphroditus at all.
And you wonder if the church at Philippi disesteemed him just a bit, not in the sense of proactively looking down on him. But he said, listen, here's what he is. He's a soldier. He's a companion in labor. He's all this. Now, I know you viewed him as your messenger that brought the basket to me, but I have to think that the Apostle Paul was really wanting them to up their view of Epaphroditus, because here's what he said. He said, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. You know, receive him. Watch this. And hold such in reputation. You know, honor him for what he did. This man is worthy of respect and praise in a good sense. And there's a good Bible principle that we need to give honor to whom honor is due.
For sure. In our churches, sometimes it's easy for a young man who grows up in the church, who's serving Christ, for people to think of him still as little Jimmy or little John or whatever, and not realize now this 21-year-old, 25, how old the person may be, that they are a person that is serving Christ, they're in the trenches, they're faithful, God's blessing them. And you're right, Pastor, people need to realize what people are doing for Christ and respect them for what they're doing and how they are maturing in Christ and following Christ.
And that might be, you know, somebody in your own assembly today. Maybe you can think of somebody in your church that, wow, they're a hard worker. And maybe you've never viewed them that way. You've just kind of viewed them as some kid that grew up in the church. And yeah, he's faithful, gets the job done. But I think that's a good Bible. I think that's a good Bible admonition. And that is, hold such in reputation and fertilize that behavior by recognizing it and verbalizing your support and maybe even your praise. And maybe you can think about somebody today that needs that word from you. But I do want to thank you for joining us. It really is a blessing to have you listening in. Think about, if you would, leaving a review on the podcast. That just helps us get a little bit more listenership. And we want everyone that we possibly can listening to the Bible every day. So help us if you can. If not, we just appreciate you listening in. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.